faith. That's in verse 11. In verse 20, Isaac taught us how to be a blessing through faith. Can I get a witness? In verse 24 and 25, Moses taught us how to choose through faith. Come on, somebody say faith in this house. In verse 30, Joshua taught us how to tear down our walls through faith. In verse 31, Rahab taught us how to receive through faith. My God, we're starting to get it here. Go back to verse 22, if you will, and we see now, we learn how to live now in essence of the patriarch through faith. Joseph taught us how to leave a will through
faith.
Moses taught us, help me somebody, how to take a journey through
faith.
The Hebrew writer tells us at the end of us how to die through
faith.
Oh my God. Now that you know how to live, to die, to receive, to give, help me somebody, to walk, to talk, to build, to give birth, we know all of this. And why don't we now learn how to practice
faith?
That's why our motto of this church is a church with what? Now faith. Have I got a witness? We're the church with now faith. Now in verse 6 it says, in verse 6 of the Hebrew it says, of chapter 11, it says, but I like when a text begins with but. It suggests now that the statement may have stopped, but the thought is not complete. Which means that whatever was said prior to verse 6, this becomes a conclusion, and it becomes not just an addendum, but it becomes clarity of what might seem to be a little confusion or puzzling in the foregoing verses. I tell you, I like it when a text begins with but. Have I got a witness? Yeah. When I get weary and I think about it, and then I hear the text that they that wait upon the Lord, well, we shall rather run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. But it said, but they that wait upon the Lord. Help me somebody. I love it when it says, but. Have I got a witness? Yeah. Every time a but is there, it's a conjunction, which means that something else attached. Don't close your ears. Help me somebody. Don't get off your knees yet. Don't quit waiting yet, because there's some more to what you have already received. And so I've come to tell you, whatever you've gotten before today, you ain't seen nothing yet, baby. There is some more. Have I got a witness? Whatever God has blessed you with, there is some more. There is a principle to be applied here in verse 6. In order that we might become the recipients of the application that we have filled out and applied to become, to receive the things of God, we got to do what's in verse 6. Somebody say, thank God for verse 6. I thank God for verse 6. I don't mind hearing about Joseph and Moses and Sarah and Rahab and Enoch, who walked with God and was did not die, for he was translated. Help me somebody. I don't mind hearing about all the patriarchs and the so great cloud of witness, but I thank God for verse 6. If you thought you've gotten all you can get from God, then you just wait until we talk about verse 6. So verse 6 says, but, help me somebody, not just a little but it's a capital but. Have I got a witness? Now here's the big deal. Here is the thing that's going to change your circumstances. Here is the thing that's going to bring you from not enough to more than enough. Here's the thing that's going to stop you from being the barrier and be the lenders. Here's the thing that's going to bring you from being the stress and know that you are the blessed. Y'all got to come on. I feel this thing here. in verse 6. Here's where you can get involved. If you look at the other verses, you'll see Abel is involved in verse 4. Enoch is involved in verse 5. Noah is involved in verse 7. Sarah is involved in verse 11. Come on, go to church with me, y'all. Isaac is involved in verse 20. Jacob's is involved in verse 21. Moses is involved in verse 24 and 5. Joshua is involved in verse 30. Rahab is involved in verse 31. But I thank God I am. I'm in verse 6. He puts me in verse 6. Have I got a witness? I thank God for the other folk, the other patriarch, and the other Hebrew Hall of Famers. I thank God for him. But now he gives me an opportunity to be among the blessed. Y'all don't see Draper name there now. But when I get through, you'll be saying, write my name. Somebody say, write my name. Write my name in Faith Hall of Fame. I said, write my name in Faith Hall of Fame. Verse 6 becomes the application where I can write my name. You know, at every application, one of the first things you'll see is the date. What's the day here? This is August the 22nd. If your name hadn't been there on August the 21st, when you leave here, this is the date you were into the Hall of Fame. So that's the date. The next thing is the name. And I see my name, Leslie Draper III. So now verse 6 will say, in the aftermath, by faith, Draper built a new sanctuary. Oh my God. By faith, Draper brought down the walls of adversities. By faith, Draper knew how to receive God. By faith, Draper took a journey for God. But I tell you, I feel this thing here. By faith, help me somebody. Draper called upon God in the midnight hour. By faith, Draper came to purpose. By faith, Draper knew how to praise. By faith, Draper knew how to worship. What's your name? Somebody say, write my name. Write my name in Hebrews Hall of Fame. God help me in this place here. So now, verse 11, verse 6 begins with a but. Thank God for but. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Help me somebody. So now, verse 6 says, but without faith, my God, without faith. Now, we know that we can do all things through Christ. Now that's a faith principle. We know that through faith nothing is impossible with God. But now to imagine a life without faith. Help me somebody. To have a life without faith. My best description would be like a rapper said some years ago. It would be like
a great celebration of the coming of the Lord from every nation.
We at the Tree of Calvary Baptist Church hope that you were blessed by our pastor's message. Join us at our Sunday services. Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. and worship services at 10:15 a.m. Second Sunday, 6 p.m., the Lord's Supper is served, and midweek services are Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. Come and join us. God has a blessing with your name on it. If additional information is needed, you may phone the church at 318-941-2877. That's 318-941-2877. God bless you until we meet again at this same time and place. Then that would be the day when... You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Blacks, now there's a big debate about whether we should even be called African Americans because of the disconnect between Africa and where we are today. So some are going back to being called blacks and whatever it is, amen, you call yourself. And we certainly are not a monolithic church, and we thank God for that. We thank God for the diversity that is among us. And it has long been my goal that we be a multicultural, multi-ethnic church, and we receive all, amen, warmly and proudly. And everybody, you ought to be proud of your heritage. You ought to be proud of your ethnicity. You ought to be proud of your culture. Amen. So please don't take this to mean that we look down on anybody, because that's not the case. But Langston Hughes, in one of his writings, he said, Negroes, sweet and docile, humble, meek and kind, but beware the day we change our minds. And I like that, because he doesn't say the day we change our social status. He doesn't say the day we change the car we drive. He doesn't say the day we change the house and community we live in. But he said, beware the day we change our minds. Paul said it like this. Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So no matter what your background is, amen, no matter where you come from, the point I want to make this morning is that your state of mind is critical to your success in this life. And it is critically important, my brothers and sisters, that you understand that you know who you are. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm saying you ought to know yourself well enough that others cannot come along and define who you are. You ought to know yourself well enough, amen, that what folks say about you ought not cause you to go off the deep end because of what somebody may say about you. I am convinced this morning that God is not willing that any people suffer oppression and heartache at the hands of evil tyrants. I'm convinced that the fact that he sends deliverers to rescue his people out of bondage and out of oppression serves as a testament to this reality. Now, if you would, in your private time, I want to encourage everybody in the house to take the time to read the book of Exodus, to read the historic events that serve as a backdrop for our text this morning. You will find that the children of Israel were held captive in a strange land. Tell your neighbor they were in a strange land. They were the victims of slavery and oppression. Yes, the nation of Israel. God's chosen people. They were in bondage for 400 years, much as our ancestors were in America. And even today, we find that in many instances, amen, because there are still vestiges of discrimination around, we find in a whole lot of instances that, amen, because of one's race or whatever, amen, you can still be the last hired and the first fired. You can still be a target of racism and discrimination. And every now and then, we ought to get angry and seek solutions to the problems that we face as a people. What do you mean, Pastor, telling us to get angry? Well, I'm in line with the Word of God. The Bible tells us, amen, that when Jesus saw the way they were dismissing the children from his presence, he looked around about them, the Bible says, with indignation. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 3 that Jesus was about to heal a man with a withered hand. You Bible readers will remember that. And those snobbish Pharisees looked on him, waiting for Jesus to break the Sabbath law. Amen. And the book says that he was moved with indignation. Do you know what that's saying? It's saying Jesus looked at him and got angry. The Bible says that on Palm Sunday, he walked into the temple, and there he saw the money changers, and he declared in anger, "You've turned my father's house into a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house of prayer." And here we have Moses in our text. He sees one of his brethren suffering at the hands of his oppressor, and the Bible says that Moses gets angry. And not only does he get angry, but he goes on to ultimately kill that Egyptian that was oppressing his brother. Now, this is not in any way to suggest, if you don't understand me, don't misunderstand me. I make no attempt to suggest that we're to bring harm to those who would hinder our progress. Dr. King serves as the best example of what can happen and what progress can be made when a people stand firmly on the word of God without raising a fist, without raising a gun, without raising a weapon. Amen. Because when you know the word of God, you know that when Moses kills this Egyptian, he clearly is acting outside of the will of God. The word of God teaches us that we should not kill. Amen. The word of God teaches us that vengeance belongs to God. Yolanda Adams sings a song that says, "The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's." And you know what I found out in my own life? I found out in my own life that when I take the battle into my own hands, when I take vengeance, amen, I mess it up worse for me than if I had let the Lord handle it. And that's a word to somebody here this morning, that when folk lie on you and when folk talk about you, come on now, we're all human beings. You know, the first tendency is, if they talk about me, I'm going to talk about them. And sometimes we do worse than that. I never will forget a few weeks ago, I was passing through the drive-thru at Burger King in DeRidder, and the young lady upset me so. She upset me so in the drive-thru with her attitude, amen, that I told her that she needed to check her attitude. And she looked at me and said, "You need to quit eating Whoppers." And somebody in the car said, "Your mama." All I'm trying to tell you is that you've got to learn how to be angry and not sin. Now, Rev sin. Well, Pastor Garner, that all sounds well and good. But how are we to confront the seemingly rising tide of animosity and hatred that is aimed against us as a people? Amen. During Dr. King's life, you know that there were those naysayers who sided with Malcolm, amen, and some of the others who said that, "No, we ain't marching nonviolently. We're going to get guns and weapons and fight our enemy." Oh, but when we look back in retrospect, we understand that Dr. King's way, which was God's way, is the right way. And is there anybody here this morning who's found out in your own life that God's way is always the right way? Oh, come on, y'all. You gotta be careful, amen. When you find yourself in a situation where you would be angry, you gotta watch what your friends tell you. You gotta watch and be careful what your family tells you, because they will mess you up. Do y'all know there are folk in jail today because they didn't hear what God said about be angry but sin not? Amen. You got to do it God's way. Now, we were taught in civics about the role of our judicial system here in these United States of America. They taught us in civics at Leesville High School, they taught us that justice, amen, was described as a lady dressed from neck to toe in a long flowing robe with a scale in her hand.
and to ensure that justice is meted out equitably, Lady Justice is wearing a blindfold. But I'm convinced that if this is an accurate description of our justice here in these United States, the record shows all too clearly that Lady Justice has been peeking through the blindfold. A lot of our young men who are locked up in prison, amen, could testify this morning. Many who have been railroaded into situations that leave them locked up in this prison, this new prison environment where they're making money off of our young men and our young women being locked up behind bars. I'm sure that if we had testimony this morning, a lot of them would say Lady Justice had to be peeking through the blindfold. If Dr. King were here after standing up for what he knew was right, after being spat upon and having racial epithets hurled at him by evil and racist mobs, only to find that he would be the one thrown in prison, and the perpetrators of dastardly deeds would go scot-free, I'm sure Dr. King would tell you that Lady Justice must be peeking through her blindfold. Oh my, our nation's prisons overflowing. Amen. Young men and young women who didn't know how to deal with or were the victims of the social ills of our age, many of them raised in single parent homes, and many of them without, amen, appropriate role models. Many of them, amen, who've been caught up in this system that leaves them with no hope and no ambition. I'm here to tell you today that they would testify that justice has been peeking through the blindfold. Well, Pleasant Hill, we better wake up to reality. Leesville, we better wake up to reality. Radio listening audience, we better wake up to reality. We better, amen, we better get a little angry at what is happening to our people. Because if someone doesn't wake up and stand up, we'll think it's halftime, but the game will be over. Doesn't take a mental giant to realize that we're in a dilemma. And one thing we preach here at Pleasant Hill is that we're real people striving to serve a real God by ministering to the needs of a real world. The operative word in that statement is real. Let's be real. See, because a lot of church folk dress up and get cute and come up into the house, amen, like everything is okay, like everything is fine, like everything is hunkadora. But I'm here to tell you that God does not want us to live in oblivion. Because when we do that, we get in these four walls and forget that folk are dying right outside of the church. When we do that, we get in here and we shout and praise and all of that, but our communities are falling around us. And I've come by this morning to tell us to wake up to the reality of our situation. Our young folk need help. And it ain't enough for you to run around talking about shame on, look at their pants hanging down their butt, earrings, and it ain't enough to talk about what they're not doing. The question is, what are we doing to help train them? What are we doing to help motivate them? What are we doing to teach them the right way? When I was growing up, amen, anybody on the street, any adult on the street, amen, could set us straight. My big thing as a child, I loved trains and I loved the railroad track. And just about every day, you'd find me at the railroad track waiting for the train to come by. Some days when it would come by, I'd jump up on the ladder on one of the boxcars and ride a little ways. Some days I just would put rocks. When one wheel would go by, I'd put a rock on the track and watch the wheel crack the rack. Some days I'd take pennies and nickels and quarters, and when the wheel would fly by, I'd put my hand quickly on, put the nickel on the track and watch the wheel of the train smash it. My mama told me to stay away from that train, but I had an affinity for it. I liked it, amen, and every chance I get. And I never will forget, one day my sister called and said, mother cooked a chocolate cake, and you need to come home and get some chocolate cake. And amen. And there was one thing I loved more than the train. Y'all ain't gonna guess what that is. But I got home, and when I walked in the house, my mama came from behind the door and she was whipping my tail. All because Sister Rosie Edison has seen me out there by the track. She knew my mama said, don't be out there. Amen. And I got my whoop, I got whipped. Amen. Because during that time, adults, amen, wanted to see you succeed. Other adults wanted to make sure you were doing the right thing. But now we live in a time when folks are sitting back waiting on other folks' children to mess up. And when other folks' children mess up, they got the nerve to get on the phone and amen and almost brag and boast about it. But you better remember what goes around comes around. We've got to wake up to the reality of the time that we're living in. Y'all, we're in a crisis situation. We need to open our eyes. We need to look. Amen. You may think that everything is all right with you and yours, but you'll find out that we either go up together or we go down together. Yes, you have a responsibility to help somebody else's child make it. Because chances are your child may befriend that child, and if that child is going the wrong way, your child may end up going the wrong way. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Many of our young people are graduating from college and still can't find jobs. And we've got to do better as a people starting our own businesses. I said we need to start our own businesses. One thing I love about the Hispanics and the Asians, when they come into a community, amen, it starts gradually, but before you know it, they have their own stores, they have their own restaurants, they have, but all we can do is go to the other places. But we've got to do better, amen? We've got to do better. Dr. King said, young people, when you get a job, don't get on the job acting crazy. In the schoolhouse, young people, stop, amen, trying to be the class clown. Stop being proud because folks say, amen, he's funny, amen, he keeps us laughing. And they're getting A's and you getting F's and all you are is a class clown. When you get on these jobs, do your best. Amen. Stop talking about I ain't flipping no burgers. You need to understand that manager making good money started out flipping burgers. That owner, amen, started out flipping burgers. And you're not going to walk into a business with no education and take over and take charge. No, you got to work. And Dr. King said, whatever you do, do it like it's everything, amen. He said, if you're going to be a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper you can be. You got to wash garbage cans. Wash them the way Langston Hughes wrote poetry. Amen. Wash them like Beethoven wrote music. Wash them the way Michelangelo painted pictures. Wash them the way Michael Jordan played basketball. Because when all is said and done, amen, if you do your best, your reward will come. Do I have any witnesses here? When you put the work in, when you put the effort in, nobody may pat you on the back right now, but just hang on in there. Your reward will come. There was a friend of mine who was working at this place, and he was in the mail room, in the back room of this business. And it would get real hot back there. Get so hot, amen, that he would find himself sweating profusely. And one day he went to the owner, and he said, we need some air back here. It's too hot back here. And that owner said, well, there's one problem. He said, when we built this building, amen, that room where you're working in wasn't a part of the original structure. It was added on later, amen, and it was not wired to handle air. The back room. And I've come by to tell us, and we've got to just wake up to the reality that many times we find ourselves in the back room and we want what everybody else has, but the system has been wired such that we may not get what everybody else has. But that doesn't mean we stop. That doesn't mean we give up. That doesn't mean we quit. Amen. Our ancestors knew how to take leftovers and turn them into delicacies. Whew. You ever eaten chitlins? Most young folk now don't want, amen, don't want no part of no chitlins. Just the name don't even sound right. And Lord, don't walk in the house while they're cooking, you know. But there are two or three folk in here that will tell you when all is said and done, when you get beyond what it is and what it smells like, it can be some mighty good eating. Can I get a witness here today?